من مجموعة أفيود أم ذا ألف سانهيدرين شبه فانتبيو. And we're on the fifth line. We're on the fifth line. The Omarova. Why does it say the Omarova and not Omarova? Because Rava was the author of the previous statements as well. So now we say the Omarova. In addition, Rava says the following as well. Ploini bo alnaro hamuroso. Somebody walks into the Bezdin and he talks about Ploini. So let's give it our names. Ruve walks into the Bezdin. And he says, Shimon had relations with a Nara Hamu'urasa. What's a Nara Hamu'urasa? So, as we've already described in the past, Mu'urasa means betrothed. But betrothed is not what we call engaged. Nowadays, what we call engagement has basically no halachic significance whatsoever. She's not considered a married woman. And essentially, after what we call the engagement party, either side can back out and nothing has happened. Whereas,
by the way, you heard, by the way, what we call a broken engagement. That's hafrashat kala.
Okay. But in the times of the Torah, in the times of Chazal, after what was called the engagement or the betrothment, she's considered a married woman. If she's considered a married woman, obviously she cannot be with somebody else. That's what it means, a ma'urasa. But the other significant word over here is na'ara. Na'ara refers specifically to a young girl.
A specific age group.
A specific age group of 12. Now, why is that significant? Because in the event, we know every woman who gets married is entitled to a ksuba. If she gets divorced or the husband dies, who gets the money from the ksuba? The answer is the woman. Except in the case of a Nara. In the case of a Nara, a young girl, if her husband were to divorce her then, or if the husband would die, then the father would get the ksum. And that's very, very critical in our case. And therefore, Reuven walks into Bezdin and says, I'd like to offer the following edus. I hereby testify that Shimon had relations with Nara Hamu'urasa. But note, he did not say who the Nara Hamu'urasa was. In addition to Reuven, obviously there must be another aide. One aide has no relevance. So Reuven and Levi are testifying that Shimon needs to be killed. So the Gemara says, "V'omar Rava, ploini bo al nara hamu'urasa." Okay, that's his edus. And what happens? And then v'huzmu. What does it mean? V'huzmu. They are made into edim zaymamin, which means they are followed up by two other witnesses who say, "How can you, Reuven and Levi, possibly have testified that this happened in a particular place in a particular time? At that very time, you are with us in Givat Shmuel, for example." Which means that Reuven and Levi are liars, and what is their punishment? Whatever they were trying to inflict, that's what happens to them. What were they trying to inflict? Obviously, they were trying to have Shimon killed. Okay, says the Gemara, Neherogin. So they themselves get killed. By virtue of the fact that they wanted to have Shimon killed, they get killed. However, the Ein Meshalmin Momoin, even though they do get the death penalty, they will not get a financial penalty as well. They will not have to pay Momoin. Which Momoin are we talking about? The Ksuba. Because if they are accusing this Nara Hamu'urasa as having committed Zanus, well then they're telling them, I'm sorry, you lose your Ksuba. So not only are they trying to have her killed, they're also trying to get her to lose the money. So you would have expected that once the Edim are made into Zaymimin, they should also get a double punishment. They should be killed and also have to pay Mammon. And the Gemara says, no, they don't pay Mammon. Why not? Says Rashi. Look at Rashi on the third narrow line. Says Rashi, Neherogin Mishum Ploini. They get killed because of this Pliny. Who's this Pliny? We called him Shimon. So if they were accusing Shimon of committing this act and deserving to be killed, they themselves get killed. However, the ein meshalmin momoin, they do not pay momoin. Which momoin? Toivas hanoas ksuboso. The hano of the ksuba, shirotsu lafsido. They wanted to damage her. How did they want to damage her? By saying, you committed znus, you don't now deserve the ksuba. So why don't they now have to pay the equivalent amount? Says Rashi, my timer. Sheharei loy his kiru shame ho'isha. They did not mention the name of the woman, Ulaman Mafsidi. So therefore, who were they causing damage to? Nobody. With regard to the death penalty, they said who it is. They said it's Pliny. Mr. Pliny, Mr. X, and they named him, has to be killed. Ah, okay. So now the Edom Zayman have to be killed. But the Ksuba, they weren't specifically trying to damage anybody's Ksuba because they didn't mention anybody's name. However, look back into the Gemara.
Why does the Gemara give us a case of Nara Marasa if it doesn't really matter if he saw the girl or not?
Keep going for the next line.
Because the mom question will be whether they owed money to the father. It could be a different obligation.
Very good. Carry on the next line. Says the Gemara, Bitoy shel Pliny. If they do now name the woman, they say, yeah, she is the daughter of Pliny. Why are they calling her the daughter of Pliny? Like we said before, because she's a young girl. And therefore, it's the father who will get the money or will lose the money. So if they say, Bitoy shel Pliny, and now Vahuzmu, and now they turn out to be Edim Zaymamin. So now let's work out what's happened over here. Who are they trying to have killed? Number one, the Pliny guy, plus this girl. They're also trying to now damage the Ksuba. Now we do have an address. But who is the address? It's not the woman. It's the father. Do you remember the Gemara on the previous Omid? The Gemara on the previous Omid says that even though essentially you cannot be punished twice, Misa and Momon, but if there are two different addresses, then you can be punished twice. Over here, there's two different addresses. Why are there two different addresses? Whom were they trying to get killed? The woman. Whom were they trying to lose out the money? The father. Says the Gemara, Neherogin Umashalmin Momoin. They get killed, and they also have to pay Momoin. Why? Momoin Lezer Unafashois Lezer. Because the money is going to one address, the nefasha is meaning the death penalty they were trying to inflict on a different address. Have a look at Rashi. Rashi explains this. Bo al bitoy shel ploini neherogin. So they get killed mishum shneyen because they were actually trying to have both of them killed. Shebohu laharoig. They were trying to get killed. Who? Oisoi v'oiso. Both him and her, the man and the woman. Umashalmin momoin shebo'u, says Rashi, lafsido ksubasa. They were trying to be mafsid, damage her ksuba, min ho'erasin. And therefore, umashalmin toivas hano ksuba. They've got to pay the financial benefit of a ksuba, kedin kol zoimame ksuba. As the din is with anybody who's Edim Zaymimin with regard to a ksuba. Now says Rashi, Veloi Pliga. This does not dispute that which we learned on a previous Omid. Veloi Pliga Derova Adarev Yosef. Rava over here is not in any way disagreeing with Rev Yosef, Da Omalael, who said in the previous Sugya, Eide Habaal Neherogin, the Ein Meshalmin Momoin. Remember, we saw in the previous Omid the principle that yes, they will be killed, but no, they will not have to pay up the money. So, why is Rashi, why is Rava telling us over here that no, they do have to pay up the money? Says Rashi, no contradiction. Da Hosam over there, Kivin de Nissas. We're talking about a girl who is married. A married girl. Once she's married, irrespective of her age, if she's a Nara, then she's now in her own jurisdiction. She is only considered to be in her father's jurisdiction if she is betrothed. But if she's married, says Rashi, kiven de nisas. So once she's married, so now who is the death penalty against? The woman. Her. Who is the financial penalty against? Also the woman. You can't have one address be machayev two punishments. Says Rashi, kiven de nisas, because she is married, hanach tashlumin de ksuba. This payment of the ksuba, it really should be hers. The kiven de olah miktali, and because it is her, it is the woman who is bringing about the death penalty as well. Therefore, loy mishalmi mamon. Therefore, they don't pay mamon because it's the same woman who they're trying to have killed and trying to damage her ksuba. When they turn out to be edim zaymimin, you cannot impose on them now a double punishment. However, says Rashi, Avol Heicha Deloy Nisus. But in our sugya, where the woman is not yet married, Hanach Tashlumin Dehazoma Deavninhu. Where is the money of the ksuba going to? Not the girl. It's going to the father. Why is it going to the father? Dekol Shvach Neureho Le'ovio. Because all financial gain by this na'ara goes to her father. In which case, v'havalei momen lezeh la'av. Therefore, the money is going to one address, v'nefoshois lezeh, bishum deboil v'na'ara miktali, because both the perpetrator and the na'ara are going to be killed. Therefore, the death penalty is at their doorstep. The money penalty is on the father's doorstep. That's two separate addresses. If it's two separate addresses, you can get a double punishment. Okay, back into the Gemara. Alex, is it making sense so far? Yep, so far so good.
Yes.
Okay, great. Everybody can always feel, even in Mishkafayim, that you could be demuted at every point, constantly, part of the time. Please feel free. It's an interactive shit. Says the Gemara.
Big mistake, Rabbi.
What's that? Even in earthquake zones. What for that? Even in Netanya, it's fine. Says the Gemara, back into the Gemara.
Like giving an alcoholic free.
Huh?
Like giving an alcoholic free.
Larry, you're freezing there.
So it's like giving an alcoholic free rein to a liquor store.
No, I disagree with the marshal. This is Gemara. Gemara, we're learning together. It's a chaburam. The truth is, I don't really like to call it a shir. I never really liked calling it a shir. I think Nachum will remember from the early days. We don't like calling it a shir. We're learning together around the table. Happens to have here is around seven tables, but it's all around the table.
If he's an alcoholic, he's a shota because he's shota.
Right. Back into the Gemara. The Omar Rava says Rava. The Heiliger Rava. Alex, how's your Yiddish? You speak Yiddish?
Talking to me, Rob?
Yeah, how's your Yiddish?
No, I'm not great.
Larry, what about yours? Larry, you're a Yiddish speaker?
I understand a little because my parents used to speak Yiddish a bit, but it's okay. We'll get the gist. It's all right. It's
okay, so we like throwing in a few Yiddish words.
You know, Rabbi, your English is so that compensates for any other language that you might speak. Throw at us.
What is that? Is that a compliment or a criticism?
Bob's your uncle.
Bob's your uncle.
I'm still waiting for Rebbe to give the shir in Swahili.
Swahili. My Swahili comes with a Bet Shemesh accent now at the moment. Sorry. Says the Gemara. Let's throw in a few Yiddish words. V'omar Rava Zot de Heilige Rava. Ployni Rava Hashoir. Somebody walks into Beis Din, or two people walk into Beis Din, and they testify that Ployni had relations with an ox. Now, what's normally the halacha? Normally the halacha is, under circumstances like that, number one, the ones who committed the Aveira get killed. Number two, the Shoyer also has to get killed. Not that the Shoyer is obviously guilty in this Aveira, but for whatever reason, it's not our discussion now, the Shoyer has to get killed. So, Ploini Rova HaShoyer. They did not say which Shoyer. They just said, we saw Ploini having relations with a Shoyer. We could not identify the Shoyer. So we do not know who the owner is. And obviously we can't kill the Shoyer because we don't know who the Shoyer is. So, says the Gemara, Vehuzmu, in the event that they now turn out to be Edim Zomimin, i.e., they're liars. Neherogin, they get killed because they were trying to themselves inflict a death sentence on this Ploini. But they do not have to pay money. Why do they not have to pay money? Because they were never trying to damage anybody's money because they never said who the Shoyer was. Look at Rashi. Rova HaShoyer, Veloi Hizkiru Shoyer Shelmi. They did not mention whose Shoyer it was. Therefore, Eim Shalmin, Dmei HaShoyer. Therefore, they do not need to pay now the Dmei HaShoyer, the value of the Shoyer, Deloi Yodinon Manu, because we do not know who it is. If they didn't say who it is, therefore we don't know who it is. If they didn't know who it is, so they were not inflicting any financial damage on anybody, therefore they themselves do not have to pay.
What would be the Hava Minah to believe they would have to pay if they don't know who the Shoyer belongs to? What was the Hava Minah to even think?
There's no Hava Minah, it's just an introduction to the next line. Says the Gemara, Shoyroi shall ploini. This is now the contrast. If, however, they do spell out who the owner of the Shoyer was, and in fact who the Shoyer was, they say, this is the Shoyer of Mr. Ploini. And then, Vuhuzmu. So now, Neherogin. And also, Meshalmin Momoin. Why will they get the double punishments? Again, because whom were they trying to damage? Two separate people. They were trying to have Ploini killed for committing the Aveira, and they were trying to have the owner of the Shoyer, whoever that may be, lose his Shoyer. That's two separate addresses. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, Ne'erogin u'meshalmin momoin. Momoin lezeh. The nefoshos lezeh. The money is going to one address. The nefoshos was going to a different address. They were trying to get one person killed and somebody else financially penalized. It's not the same person. And if it's two different people, it's two different addresses. Like we said before, you've got to have a double punishment. Says Rashi, Momoin lezeh, who's that? Lebal hashoyer, to the owner of the ox. The nefoshos bishvil ploini hareveya. If it's two different people, this Ploini who's committed the Aveira as opposed to the owner of the Shoyer, two different people, two different punishments, and therefore the Edim have to suffer both. Now, what's the big question? Let's press pause for a moment. We've just said two different cases which seem to be teaching me the same principle. We had one case of when the Nara Hamu'urasa is accused of committing Znus. So we said that the Edim, once they're proved to be liars, both have to be killed, and also they've got to pay the father. Why? Two separate addresses. And then we moved on to the second case of, not Znus, but rather relations with a Shoyer, and once again the same Limud. Choyer, the same Chiddush. But yes, they have to be killed, and in addition, they also have to pay the Shoyer. So isn't that just the same chidush twice? Says the Gemara, ha su lomo li hainu ha, ? Why was it necessary for me to tell me the second case of about Shoyer? That's exactly the same as Nara Hamurasa. If you're trying to teach me this principle that where there are two addresses, and therefore two punishments, the Edim get both when they turn out to be liars. So why must you give me the same chidush twice, just in a different example? First example was Nara Marasa. Second one was with a Shoy. It's all the same thing. Hainu Hach, it's all the same. Says the Gemara, no, here comes the Chiddush. Mishum deka boi boi ilavei. Because actually there was a question posed about this. It's not so poshut. There was a question posed about this. What was the question? The boi Rava. Rava once posed the following question. Ploini Rava Shoiri Mahu. What does Shoiri mean?
Mine.
My Shoiri. Now, why is that significant? Why does that maybe change things? You remember we had in a previous sugya that a person cannot testify about himself, either about himself or about his wife. Now here, he's not directly testifying about himself. He's testifying about his ox.
His ox.
So Reuben is coming to Beis Din and is telling the Beis Din, there's a guy called Ploini, let's call him Shimon, who had relations with an ox, and you know whose ox? My ox. So this was Rava's question. Mahu. This is a very fundamental question. A person is considered to be a relative of his wife. A person is considered to be a relative of himself. Remember, we saw that in the previous sugyas. Is a person considered to be a relative of his financial possessions? The shoyer is not a being, it's not a person, but it's his mommy. Is that also considered to be a korev? Says the Gemara, mi orinon odom korev eitzel atzmoy. Do we say that yes, a person is considered to be a korev of himself? But perhaps he's not considered a koroiv with regard to his financial possessions. Oi, Dilma. Or perhaps not. Maybe, Omrinon, maybe we should say, Odom koroiv eitzel mamoinoi. Maybe he really is considered a relative, not only of himself, but also of his mommy. Now, let's press stop. Let's press pause for a moment. Rava is posing a phenomenal question over here. When you testify about your own shoyer, are you considered to be a korev? In which case, your edus cannot be accepted in a Beis Din. You're disqualified because you're never allowed to testify about a korev or not. That was Rava's question. Now, let's consider for a moment, Rabbeisai, if we were going to consider, if, we don't know yet, Rava has a suffix, but if Rava is going to consider a person to be a relative of his own shoyer, so Rabbeisai, what would you paskin in this case? A guy walks into Beis Din, his name is Reuven, and he says, Shimon had relations with my ox. So what is he trying to do? He's trying to have Shimon put to death. But we're considering the possibility that Reuven, whilst testifying against his own shoyer, is disqualified. What would be the halacha then? What would we do in a case like that? Based on the sugya that we did yesterday.
Split the...
We would split the edus, that which we called palginon dibura. How would we split the edus? We'll say, listen, you are in fact, albeit it's true it's one sentence, but it's actually two halves of one sentence. Because you began by saying, Ploini Rava. Who's this Ploini? Some fellow called Shimon. And then you ended up the sentence saying, it happens to be my ox. Fine. So I'll take a big knife. I'll chop the sentence into two. What will I say? The first half of the sentence, you're a perfectly valid witness. And therefore, we accept that part of the edus, that Shimon committed an avera with an animal, and Shimon gets put to death. With regard, however, to the second half of the sentence, when you testified against your own shoyer, That part of the sentence, I'm sorry, we cannot accept because you're a Korek. So what then would happen to his own Shoir?
It lives.
It lives. Nothing would happen. That's the Shiloh of the Gemara.
By the way, if we accept his testimony about his own Shoir, there's no Mamon either because it's the same person in the same case.
No.
Why? Because it's my case. It's my mom, my Shoir. So there's death and Mamon. No, you can't have Mamon. It's my, no, I can't.
It's death to Shimon. It's Mamon to me. I'm trying to have Shimon killed.
But if Adam Karav, if Adam is Karav Eitzel Mamono, then this is like me.
No, but then he's testifying against two different people. He's testifying against Shimon and also against himself. That's two different people. He's testifying against Shimon to have him killed, and he's trying to testify that his own Shoir should be killed. Either way,
by the way, is the raya for Adam Karav Lamamono that the whole reason that a Karav that you. If there is such a reason, maybe it's a chok, I don't know. But if the whole svara that you can't, that Odom Korav La'atzmo is that this, that's the highest level of yegiah, right? You're influenced by your own thing. So if you're talking about influence, so too, when it's a chance of you losing your money, you're not clear at it. You're not objective. You're not, okay. Therefore.
Could be that was a suffix. Have a look how the Gemara resolves the suffix. Says the Gemara, Bosar the boya. After he posed the question, Hodar Poshtar, he then resolved it. Initially, he had a doubt. He posed the question, it was a suffix, but the conclusion is, he says, actually, Hodar Poshtar. I'm coming to a conclusion. What is the conclusion? Odom Karov Eitzel Atzmoi. However, the Ein Odom Karov Eitzel Mamoini. He is not, however, considered to be a korev to his money. So now, how does that answer our original question? We had a question. Why was Rava teaching us the same chiddush twice? Rava spoke about two cases. Case number one, a nara hamoroso committed znus. It turns out the Edom are Zomimim, so they've got to have a double whammy punishment. They've got to be killed, and they've got to pay up. Why? Because they were trying to have the girl killed, but they were trying to have the father lose out the ksuba. That's two different people, so they get two punishments. Case number one. Case number two is, somebody had relations with a Shoir, and it turns out to be Zomimim. If they named the Shoir, who the owner was, we said the Edom, Zomimim get two punishments. Number one, they're killed, and also they've got to pay up. Why? Because the killing, the nefoshes, was against the guy who committed the Avera. The mammon, that was against the guy who owns the Shoir. That's two different addresses, two punishments. So the Gemara asked, why are you teaching me the same chiddush twice? How lemaisa has the Gemara answered that question? The Gemara seems now to have veered off track by talking about a different shaila. Is a person considered a korov with regard to testimony about his own Shoir? Okay, very nice, Shaila. What's that got to do with the question that we were talking about before? So in order to understand this, we're going to have to learn some Rashis, but we'll run out of time. So Mitz Hashem, same time, same place. Mitz Hashem, we'll reconvene tomorrow. Okay, have a wonderful day. Be well, everybody.